Now, in your Bibles today, we're looking in John chapter number 21 for our text. And I hope the message of the Word of the Lord will be a help to you. John chapter 21 and verse number 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the record of the Son of God and the earthly ministry and life of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for what we know about you and thank you for what we don't know. And I pray help us now as we try to magnify in Jesus' name. Amen. When we think about this scripture, what a wonderful verse of scripture in the Bible about our Lord. This verse says that Jesus did things that are not written in the Bible. This verse says that Jesus did things that John said that he supposed if the books were written, the world could not contain the books. Now think about something. Think about this whole wide world full of books about the things that Jesus did. What a God we serve. Jesus proved that he is the Son of God. God does things with a record and a witness. Jesus came to his own received him not. Then he turned to the Gentiles. Jesus is Lord. I want to talk today on this subject, Jesus. Now the word Jesus is found 942 times in the Bible, in the New Testament only, of course. Now Jesus, you know, when Jesus was to be born, God told Joseph and God told Mary, said his name shall be called Jesus. What a wonderful name. God said in the book of Philippians that he gave him a name above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. You know, even the devils of hell are going to have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The vilest, wickedest sinner that says, I don't believe in God, let me say this to you. He will confess Jesus Christ one day. There is a spirit of Antichrist in our world today. There is a spirit of anti-Bible. There is a spirit of atheism. It's almost people glorify the fact that they're atheists. They don't believe in God. The Bible said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Not in his head, but in his heart. There are people out there today that really do not believe in Jesus Christ. But friend, one day you will bow at the name of Jesus. Jesus is the most hated person that has ever lived, yet he's the most loved person that has ever lived. Let's look at Jesus today. Amen. First of all, we see Jesus is the Word of God. John chapter 1 verse 1 declares that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word. Now, what does that mean? Jesus is authority. Whatever Jesus says is right. Amen. There is no wrong. There is no error in him. Whatever he says is right. He is the Word of God. John 1:1. Then I want to say secondly, he is the light of the world. In John 8:12, Jesus is the light of the world. Now, the Bible said that men chose darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. But you think about something. Jesus is the light of the world. You think about all these other gods and all these other beliefs and everything else. But Jesus is the true light this day. Jesus is the truth. You know, Pilate asked a sad question. Pilate said, what is truth? You know what? I believe Pilate's in hell today, wringing his hands, saying, what is truth? Jesus is the light of the world. I've thought about this many times. Why God let me be born in America? Why did God allow me to come to the light when so many others have difficulty in Christian? They're in countries where Christianity is not the dominant belief. And yet God allowed me, yet God allowed my family in 1975 to get the light of Jesus Christ. Yet God allowed me in 1978 to come to the light and be saved by the grace of God. Jesus is the light of the world. That shoots down the doctrine of predestination and the doctrine of this one was predestined to go to hell and this predestined to go to heaven. No, sir. No, sir. Jesus died for the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus is the light. He's the light above all gods. They spread lies. He spreads truth. The devil is the father of lies. The devil's a liar. on the authority of God's Word, but God is the light. Jesus is the light. Amen. If you're looking for something in your life today, Jesus Christ is the answer. Not religion, not baptism, not works, not joining the church, not doing better. No, sir, no, sir. These things will not help you. But Jesus Christ Himself, He is a person. He is the Son of God. He is the Word of God. He is the light of the world. And then thirdly, I want to say this. He's the bread of life. John 6:48 declares that He is the breath, the bread, of life. I think about the hungry sinner. I think about the sinner that has tried immoral sex. I think about the sinner that has tried drugs. I think about the sinner's tried alcohol. Oh, but let me say this to you. When you come to Jesus Christ and you realize that He is God and you're a sinner and you can't go to heaven on your own and all you have to do is ask Him to save you. That's it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God does not make salvation hard. But let me say this to you. He's the bread of life. Friend, you've tried everything. I mean, you've tried fame and fortune and money. Why don't you come to the Lord today? Why don't you come to Jesus Christ? It'll be the end of your searching. I can say this. He gave me something worth living for. Amen. I have something every morning worth getting out of the bed for. I have something worth going to bed and sleeping at night. I have something to do every day pertaining to Jesus Christ. What a God. Amen. What a Lord. He's the bread of life. You know, we eat bread almost every day. Maybe some of us ain't supposed to be eating it, but we eat it almost every day. And bread's good. I like bread. Don't you? I mean, if you're hungry, there's nothing better than a piece of bread. Amen. But let me say this to you, the hungry sinner. The Bible talked about in Psalm 107, he said hungry and thirsty. He talked about their soul fainted in them. And of course, I know that's talking about the children of Israel, but God, you can type that to salvation. Boy, I was a hungry soul. I tell you what, I didn't know. I knew something was lacking in my life. But when I got Jesus Christ, I got totally satisfied. You know what got me through my young years and my teenage years and then my early adult years? Man, I tell you what, Jesus Christ, He's the bread of life. I have something worth living for. I have something somebody worth singing about. Hallelujah. Amen. Why? Because He's the bread of life. He is the answer to the hungry soul. I say He's the Word of God. He's the light of the world. He's the bread of life. Then I want to give you this one. He is the resurrection. How about that? John 11:25. You know, Lazarus is sick, and Jesus tells His disciples, you know, we're going to see him. And they said, Lord, if he sleep, he do well. He said, no. He told them plainly, said, Lazarus is dead, rather. And they go up there, and Mary meets him, said, Lord, if you'd been here, said he wouldn't have died. And Jesus told her, said, he's going to rise again. She said, I know he will in the resurrection. And then Jesus said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection, present tense. Boy, I think about that, don't you? You know, I was looking the other day. As the time I'm preaching this, it's beginning to be springtime. And even I, with my limited eyesight, can see the little buds on the tree. You know, the trees are got buds on them. You know what they done? They resurrected from a winter's sleep. Amen? I mean, spring is a resurrection time. We celebrate Easter, and we celebrate the Lord's resurrection, and He is the resurrection. Amen? But let me say this. The dead couldn't stay dead in His presence. Amen? I think about that little widow from Nain. Oh, she a name. Have you pronounced, she's burying her son. Now, no doubt he was the provider for her. No doubt she didn't have any, probably income coming in. And now that son has died. Her hopes are gone, and now they're going to the graveside to bury that boy. I mean, listen, friend, her hopes are gone. But she didn't understand that. But walking that day was the resurrection. And Jesus came by and touched that casket. Amen. Thank God. And that boy sat up in there. Amen. And he presented him to her. I think about Jairus' daughter, a little 12-year-old girl, and she's sick and dies. You know, it's sad when an adult dies, but it's really sad when a kid dies. I remember many years ago, there was a family. My mama worked with the daddy of this family, and the girl took a disease, and it was kind of a rare disease, and she died. And she wasn't 14, 15 years old. I remember that, and it upset me. I remember mama and daddy telling me about that, and I remember how it upset me. And I remember vaguely going to the funeral home to the viewing of that little girl. I remember that vaguely. And let me say this to you, friend. It's sad when a little kid dies. Oh, it was sad that day for Jairus. And to make matters worse here, on top of all that, he's come to the Lord now to get his daughter healed. And on top of all that, then here's this woman touches him in the crowd with an issue of blood. And boy, she just holds him up. And you know, by the way, Jesus did a miracle on her too, you know. And then Jesus goes down to Jairus' house. And he goes in there, and boy, they're weeping. And Jesus said, she's just asleep. And they laugh at him. By the way, death to a Christian is just asleep. I read the other day in the Bible where they stoned Stephen, and the Bible said he fell asleep. Amen. But you know what? Jesus took that little girl by the hand, thank God. I was reading this morning the Bible where Peter raised up Emmaus in the book of Acts and been on that bed for 8 years. Now the number 8 is a new beginning. And Emmaus probably thought, I'm going to lay on this bed the rest of my life. He probably thought, my affliction ain't going to be but through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. He is the resurrection. My friend, he's not in a tomb somewhere in Jerusalem. Oh, no, but he lives today. He lives. You ask me how? I know he lives. He lives within my heart. He's the resurrection. I want to tell you something's going to get ready to happen now. This ain't a fairy tale. You know, we have so much fiction in America, and we've watched so many movies, and we've seen so much junk that our brains are warped almost. But there is a rapture of the church. You say, well, preacher, the word rapture is not found in the Bible. Well, the word Bible's not found in the Bible either, but you carry one, don't you? Here's the deal. Hey, man, did you know one of these days? I don't know when there are no signs to the rapture of the New Testament church. Only the saints of God are going to hear that trumpet. The lost are not going to hear that trumpet. I've learned more about the rapture than I knew when I was a child, you know. But the rapture, Jesus is going to call away the saints. He's not coming to touch the ground. He's going to call them away in the air. And now at the second coming, he's going to set his feet on the Mount of Olives. But the first time, he's going to come with the rapture of the church. You read about it in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15. And brother, let me say, those dead saints that sleep, my mama, her little body's over there in that graveyard. My little daddy is laying beside of her. But bless your heart, one glorious morning. Amen. It may be one evening. It may be one night. But glory to God, the trumpet's going to sound. And they're coming out of those graves. Thank God. Amen. I'd kind of like to be standing right by some graveyard on rapture day, wouldn't you? It's going to happen so fast, you ain't going to have to worry about it, though. Amen. But you know, we're going to meet our loved ones first. Now, why did Jesus do that? I think he did it so that we would be comforted, amen, because he told the Thessalonican church, he said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Well, you know, I don't hear many people talking about the rapture anymore. I hear more people talking about the tribulation. Let me hip you about something. I'm not going to be here during the tribulation. I'm not going to be here during the mark of the beast. It don't concern me. That 666 don't bother me. I'm not going to be here, brother. Listen, when the tribulation comes, I'll be gone, amen, as the old song said. But when it's over, I'll be back. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm leaving here for 7 years. Amen. And then I'm coming back to rule and reign with Christ. But here's the deal. Jesus is the resurrection. He is the resurrection. Amen. How can you think about poor Lazarus over there? And Lazarus has been dead now 4 days. Jesus goes to the graveside and he said, open the stone. Boy, I mean, Martha's having a fit. She's probably some little dignified lady. She said, Lord, by this time he stinketh. And Jesus had to rebuke her again. Said, Martha, didn't I tell you, if you believe. And then Jesus said this. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Now, do you know why he said, Lazarus, come forth? Does anybody know why he called Lazarus by name? Let me tell you why. If he'd have just said, come forth, every saint that ever died would have come forth. Oh, Elisha would have got out of his tomb. And Adam would have got out of his burying place. And Noah would have arose. I believe this. I believe the Old Testament saints are going to rise right there with the New Testament saints. I believe. Now, you can differ with me on that. I'm not going to argue with you on it. But I believe they're all getting up at the same time. Amen. You say, well, preacher, they wasn't part of the church. Let me say this to you. If they're saved, they're as part of God as you're part of God. Amen. I know it's different dispensation and all that. But if they're saved and they're born again, they got saved same way you did, by grace, by trusting in God. Amen. And I tell you what, matter of fact, we know that Abraham's going to be there because the Bible said many's going to sit down with Abraham and Isaac. Amen. I'm looking forward to fellowshipping with them. Amen. And but anyway, Jesus is the resurrection. Can you think about that? I mean, Jesus raised Lazarus. He raised the widow. He raised Jairus' daughter. I tell you what, the dead couldn't stay dead in his presence. Amen. Because he's the resurrection. Now, let me go on. I mean, he's the word. He's the light of the world. He's the bread of life. And then I want to say he is the resurrection. Then I want to give you this. He's the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. Now, let's just take those three. He's the way. Let me tell you, without apology, Jesus is the only way to heaven. I say it again. It is not church membership. It is not good works. It is not religion. It's not doing some good deed. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. It's not that. Our president made a statement not long ago, and it's a sad statement that the leader of the United States made, and bless his heart, he just don't know. He said, maybe I'll do some good deed, get me in. No, 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 you won't do that. You know, there's going to be presidents of the United States turned away. Let me tell you, now, the president of the United States can go to heaven if he's saved. Amen. But listen, if he's not saved, he won't go to heaven. God has no respect of persons. God ain't going to look down and say, well, he was the leader of China, or he was leader of America, he was leader of Canada. We'll let him go in. No, 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 no. You see, God has no respect of persons, but it must be Jesus is the way. Acts chapter number 4, verse number 12. For there's salvation in no other. Amen. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the way to heaven. If you reject him, you go to hell. All you have to do is ask him to save you if you want to go to heaven. That's it. Now, he's the way, the truth. Jesus is the truth. We already dealt with that, really. But Pilate asked the question, what is truth? Jesus is the truth. All these other ways to heaven are a lie. Amen. I mean, you've got religions promising all kinds of carnalness. Amen. And if a man does this deed, he can have 7 wives and all this stuff. Let me tell you something. That's carnal. That's flesh. That's that. All that stuff not going to get you anywhere. But let me tell you what Jesus promised. He's the truth. You can believe what this Bible says. This old King James Bible's been proved, tested, and tried. It's been laughed at, talked about, and put down. It's been put on the shelf by some churches and refused to be preached out of by some preachers. But I tell you, it's the Word of God. Amen. I believe every word in it, all 1,189 chapters, over 31,000 words of the verses of the Bible, and over some 700,000 words of the Bible. You can believe the words with an S on the end of them of the Lord. He's the way, the truth, and then he's the life. You know, I've had a good life. You say, why, preacher, you've got saved, and man, you missed the youth, and I missed drugs, jail, and going to hell. I missed it all, didn't I? Hallelujah. Thank God I missed it. Praise God. Amen. He's the life. Well, I wouldn't trade nothing for my life. Amen. I'm happy. I'm as happy as a lark in a lemon bush. If a lark gets in a lemon bush, how about that? Brother, listen, I'm happy today. You know why? Because Jesus is my life. He came in to live in my heart. In 1978, he became my life. I have loved him all these years. I've not done what I ought to do for him. I've not been as faithful as I should have been. I've not used my time wisely. I've not studied this book like I should have studied it. But I'll tell you without apology, brother, he is life. Amen. You know, I think about it sometimes when some sports star dies and they've given their life. Maybe they've been a sports star for 20 years and then they turned commentator on the TV or whatever, and then they die. And I think about that, and maybe they were a good ball player. Or I think about some poet or some author. Maybe they were a good writer. But you know, here's the sad part about that. All that is this. If you don't have Jesus, that life ain't worth living. I mean, listen, you know what? If you don't have the Lord, you can be a big sports star. But the moment you die, you're screaming in hell while they're bragging on you on the television. Did you know that? You can be some big singer somewhere, but you'll die and go to hell, and while you're screaming in hell, they'll be bragging on you. But oh, if you got Jesus, you got life. You say, but preacher, that sounds so simple. It is. I'm glad Jesus came to the poor folk. I'm glad he came to the Catherine house. You know, the night my mama got saved, bless your heart, we didn't even have inside bathrooms. Did you know that? But let me tell you, I've not missed anything. You say, well, preacher, I've got money and I've got millions of dollars. That's all right, but you're no more happier than me. Matter of fact, I wouldn't. If you're lost, you're not as happy as I am. Hey, man, your millions ain't going to do you any good. I heard about a man said this. He said, I've got enough money. He said, I can buy my own pearly gate. I heard about a man said that. Oh, but I'm afraid that man, when he died, he found out different. Oh, my friend, your money will do you no good. I heard about a man one time. His son got sick, and this man offered the doctor. I mean, this was money 50 years ago. He said, Doc, I'll give you $1 million if you can heal my boy. That boy laid and died and screamed as he died on his deathbed. Let me say something to you, friend. Money's no good. You can't take it with you. Why, money's nasty. Money's filthy. God called it filthy lucre. That's what he called it. Now, money's not a sin, okay? The Bible said the love of money, not money. Money's not a sin. You have to have money to live. But let me say this to you. Turn to Jesus. He is life. Oh, you say, but preacher, I have to give up my friends. I have to give up my fame and my position. Let you, I was reading about a man this morning in the Bible. His name was Saul, and he persecuted the Christian, and he put people in jail, and made havoc of the churches. But all one glorious day, Saul got saved by the grace of God. And his fame, you know what? He's more famous being Paul than he was Saul. Now, you might be some big celebrity. You may be listening to me. I don't know who's listening on radio. But you know what? You know what? You give all that up, and you just go to Jesus Christ and get saved, you'll be more famous than ever. Amen? I mean, listen, he's life, brother. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Well, I thank God that he is. Amen. John 14:6. And then I want to say this. Jesus is. Amen. You know what he is? He, in Luke 2:7, he's the Savior. The Bible said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, amen, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I'm glad he came to save me. I was on my way to hell. The little blind boy, born blind, 1966, got most of my sight back. I was able to go to school. But I needed a Savior. I came from a drunkard's home. I didn't have much in school. I was so poor. I got the free lunch and the free Christmas presents at Christmas time. I was a poor fella. Oh, and people took care of me. I had some wealthy folk that brought me things for Christmas and brought them to my house and give them to me. But I will tell you one thing. That wasn't what I needed. Oh, but January 22nd, 1978, as an 11-year-old boy, I got what I needed. Thank God I came to the Savior, and I understood that only Jesus can save me. It ain't church membership, it ain't baptism, it ain't religion, it ain't doing good, it ain't being good to your neighbor, it ain't giving money to somebody. No, sir, no, sir. But it is Jesus Christ and Him alone I came to Him, and I realized He could save me. I don't know the words I said in that altar that night, but I know when I bowed my head and prayed to God, I got saved. I know I did. Oh, Brother Ivan Dameron, he's in heaven now. He died at 90 years old, Brother Ivan Dameron. He was my pastor. He was in his 50s then. And Ivan Dameron came over with the Bible. I tell you, but I was saved before Ivan Dameron ever came over with that Bible. I was saved by the grace of God. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. I got born again. I truly got saved. Amen. That night. And I came to the Savior. Oh, He's wonderful. He's the Savior. He's the one that can make this world. By the way, He's the only one going to bring world peace. Now, there's going to be a man step out on a white horse. He's going to have a bow without an arrow. He's called the Antichrist. That's what the world's looking for. He's going to be of the very devil himself. I believe he's going to be a very demon himself. I believe that. He's going to step out. The devil's going to get the finest. And he's going to pick the finest for that hour. That's the devil's hour to shine. The church is going to be gone. He who now let will let till he be taken out of the way. He who now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. That's the Holy Ghost. He's gone at the rapture. The Holy Spirit's going with us. But let me tell you one thing, brother. There's the true peace is in Jesus Christ. You fast forward 7 years after the end of the tribulation period, in Revelation chapter 19, there's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's going to come back. All the armies are going to line up against Israel. I mean, brother, they're going to come down there, Persia and Gog and Magog and all of them. That's Russia and Iran, Iraq, that's Persia. And all of them, they're going to come down there. And Gomer, that's Germany. They're all going to line up, and they're going to try to wipe Israel off the map. And brother, at the end of the tribulation period, but all of a sudden the heaven's going to open, and the Son of Man is going to descend, the Son of God. And the Bible said He's coming with the armies of heaven. That's you and me. We're going to be on white horses. We're going to come back with Him, but we're not going to fight in that battle. Jesus is going to slay them with now they're going to have their nuclear weapons, and they're going to be aimed at God, no doubt. And Jesus is going to slay them with a two-edged sword. What is that? The Word of God. I've wondered about that. Jesus is going to unlock something in the Bible that we don't even know is there. And He is going to, I mean, defeat the armies of the world with the Word of God. Now, you little King James Bible changer, you little Bible denier, Now you think you're going to go up against God when he's going to defeat the armies of the world with the Bible? Oh, you keep on changing it. You go ahead and keep on rearranging it. You just keep on believing your silly little version that don't mean anything. You go ahead and do that. But I'll tell you one thing. Amen. God's going to use the Word of God. Amen. On that day. And he's gonna defeat them all. You know why? Because he's the Savior of the world. Then I want to say not only is Jesus the Savior, but I want to say Jesus is the Shepherd. Boy, I tell you, Psalm 23 verse 1, the Lord is my Shepherd and I shall not want. One little girl got it wrong in Sunday school. She said, the Lord is my Shepherd and that's all I want. Well, amen. You know what? Hey, can I tell you something? For these 48 years, I've served the Lord. Can I tell you, the Lord's been my shepherd. Now, a shepherd protects. Amen. Oh, my Lord protects me. Me and my wife riding down the highway the other day, and I don't drive. My wife is an absolutely wonderful driver. She can get you anywhere you need to go. I wouldn't be afraid to ride with my wife in Chicago. I wouldn't be afraid to ride with her in Los Angeles. I wouldn't be afraid to ride with her in Oklahoma City. I've rode with her in Atlanta. I've rode with her in Chattanooga. I mean, listen, my wife is a safe driver. But the other morning, somebody slowed down or something, amen, and almost I mean, I seen my goozle fly up in my mouth, amen. I mean, we're coming down to it. I just knew we were going to hit that car. I mean, I was so scared when we finally got kind of stopped. I checked my pulse, see if my heart was beating. I'm telling you, but you know what happened that morning? I'm gonna tell you what happened. You don't have to believe this; don't make no difference to me. But I tell you what, God had an angel. I've got angels that guard me. You say, Catherine, we'll shoot you. No, you won't. If it ain't God's will, my angels protect me. I don't know how many I got, but they're in this room with me right now. You say, preacher, you're preaching something weird. No, I'm preaching the Bible. You better study yours. Amen. But I tell you what happened that morning. That God sent that angel. He just reached out and put some space between us and that car. Hallelujah. Amen. You know why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. Boy, he provides my needs. How many times have I tried to do God's will? Friend, I'm not on the radio for your money. I could care less about your money. I'm honest with you. I care less. Let me, you say, well, preacher, from time to time you ask us to help in projects. I do. But let me say, if you don't give, God will raise somebody else up. Amen. I'm not worried about that. But let me tell you, I've never been on the radio to see what I get out of anybody. I've never took your money and bought a lavish home or a lavish car. I've never took your money and bought anything lavish for my house or for my cats or anything. I never have done that. I've never misused God's money. Let me tell you one thing. I'm on the radio to get the gospel out. Amen. I'm on the radio, but let me say, down through the years, God has took care. I remember in 1999, we started Gospel Broadcasting Incorporated, the ministry has our radio broadcast. I've got it in my office. I saw it yesterday. Sitting up on a shelf in my office is a tin can. It's a Maxwell House coffee can, little old tin can that coffee came in. And I'll never forget it. When I started GBI, we didn't have nothing. My mama brought that little can to me, and she gave me that can to keep the money in till we could get it to the bank. We started with $700 in a coffee can. God has blessed us. We're not rich. No, Gospel Broadcasting's never been rich. I prayed to the Lord one morning in the early days of our ministry. I said, God, if you'd just give us a large gift. And he said, if I did that, you wouldn't trust me. And boy, I seen God give them little $25 gifts, and them little poor people calling them charathons and give everything they had. I don't know if they had groceries the next week. I mean, they'd give everything they had. And then over time, I saw those go to $50 gifts, and now I see them go to $100 gifts, and I've seen some $1,000 gifts come in. And I've seen some large gifts come into this ministry. I mean, more money than I've ever had in my hand, amen. My wife don't ever let me hold it. She just takes it to the bank, amen. I'd like to hold it this one time, amen. But hey, let me say this to you. God's been good. And you know what God is? He's my shepherd. I can honestly look toward heaven and see Psalm 23 is written with the idea of a satisfied sheep. I can honestly look toward heaven and say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. For a year and a half, I prayed about a project. I announced it not long ago, and money started coming on that thing. And I want to say to you, friend, that it ain't Ricky Cawthorn. It ain't nothing about me. Amen. I'm just like Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. Brother, when the glory came, when everything was clear, the Bible said, at the first, they saw Moses and Elijah. And Peter didn't know what to say, and he shot his mouth off. And by the way, when you don't know what to say, just don't say anything. And Peter said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let us build here 3 tabernacles. One for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. Now he's putting Jesus down on their level. He's trying to bring them up to his level, and he's putting us back under the law and the prophets. No, but brother, when the glory cleared, they saw no man. save Jesus only. In this ministry, I don't want you to see Ricky Cothran. It's not about what God's done with Ricky Cothran. It's what God's done through Ricky Cothran. God's used me, just used me as a vessel to have this man. I don't know how many people's been blessed by the radio preaching. I don't know how many people's wrote letters and said, I've been blessed. Old people, young people. I've had 13-year-old boy write me and told me the Lord called him to preach. I've had 80-year-old people write me in their 80s and say, God's, you've been a blessing. I've had preachers write me, young preachers and older men. I've had people call me and I thank God for it down through the years, but it ain't nothing to me. You see, the Lord's been our shepherd. He's took care of the ministry, brother. And I tell you, we used to do some things, but I'll be honest with you. You know, the best way I like to see things come in is God send them in. Amen. I'm getting less and less. The older I get, the less I want to rely on gimmicks and tricks. I just want to see God do something. How can I tell you the Lord's still living in this day and hour? He's still the shepherd in the year 2026 as I'm preaching this message. He's the shepherd right now as he was in 1826. Amen. If God could take care of Fanny Crosby, God can take care of Ricky Cothran. If God fed Dwight Moody, God can take care of Ricky Cothran. If God can feed the sparrows, amen, in the field, God can take care of Ricky Cothran. He said, ye are of more value than many sparrows, amen. God takes care of me, amen. A sparrow don't mean much to this world, but God cares when to the ground one falls. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Jesus takes care of it all. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. All your trouble and heartache God knows. He reaches down from his throne above with his great arms of love. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. The Lord's our shepherd, amen. Two sparrows were sold for a farthing. A greater price was placed on man's soul. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Jesus died to make men whole. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. All your trouble and heartache God knows. He reaches down from his throne above with his great arms of love. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. He reaches down from his throne above with his great arms of love. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. The Lord's the shepherd. Amen. Hallelujah. Not only is he the shepherd, but you know what? In John chapter 10 verse 11 said, he's the good shepherd. He's not just my shepherd. He's a good shepherd. I'm glad I serve. Jesus ain't out to hurt you. God ain't out to kill you. God don't want to do that. You know, James and John got a little sideways about them Samaritans and said, Lord, wilt thou that we call fire out of heaven? And by the way, you got to give them this. They had faith they could do that. They really believed they could do it. And by the way, God didn't tell them they couldn't. God just said, hey, he said, you know not what manner of spirit you're of. Our brother, this crowd always goes around, God's going to kill you. God's going, by the way, God will kill you if you get out of the will of God and you make a mockery of him. But let me tell you something. You know, Jesus is a loving God. I think some of you preachers ought to get filled with the love of Christ. Boy, I wished I'd know what I know a few years ago. I've not compromised on one thing I'm preaching. But I'll tell you one thing. I want to preach to the love of Christ. You know, 1/7 of being filled with the Spirit. Now we always associate being filled with the Spirit is with the power. And that's, by the way, the might is 1/7 of being filled with the Spirit. But there's also another part of that. You know, 1/7 of being filled with the Spirit is, there's 7 attributes, Isaiah 11, you go read it. 1/7 of being filled with the Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord. What that means is a Christ-like Spirit in your heart. Brother, if you feel with the Holy Ghost, you say, I'll speak with another tongue. No. But you'll do things like Jesus did. You know, many Christians don't have that attitude today, do they? No, they want to do things like they want to do it. Can I just tell you something that's going to shock you? Life ain't about you. I tell you something else that's going to shock you, even if you're saved. You know, life ain't about your ministry. Did you know that? Life ain't about what you're doing. The world don't revolve around you, dear sir, dear ma'am. I hate to tell you that, but it doesn't. God's got a plan. You can be a part of it. You don't have to be. And that ain't original. I heard a preacher from South Carolina say that one night, and God grabbed a hold of me in the pew, boy. Amen. Let me tell you, you know, I'm just, as one group of singers sing, I'm on the little end of something big, boy. It ain't got nothing to do with Ricky Cotham, but it's all about the shepherd. The Bible said he's a good shepherd. That means he does good things. Amen. That shepherd takes care of his sheep. You know, I'm about to have a spell in here, and we're on radio. Is it all right if I stop just a minute? Woo! And shout just a little bit. Will that bother y'all? Is that going to upset your religion, Sister Hatpin? Amen. Sister Wigglejaw, is that going to upset your religion if I shout? Woo! Hallelujah. Is that going to upset you, Brother Deacon? Oh, you dignified preacher, you seminary preacher that's got all your I's dotted and all your T's crossed and all your dispensations in place. Is it going to upset you a little bit if I shout? Woo! I hope when we get to heaven, God let me come by and shout in your ear. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, Buddy Robertson, the old Nazarene preacher. He got broke up by that trolley car. He's laying in the hospital. He died in 1940. You ought to go read his testimony. And the old Nazarene. And he's laying on the bed. And he said, the priest came in to read me my last rites. And he said, you could smell the liquor and the tobacco on that priest. And he said, he came in and said, he got to me and said, sir, is there anything I can do for you? And old Buddy Robertson laying there about to die. And old Buddy said, yeah. He said, I just want you to know. He said, I mustered all the voice I could. Said, I'm saved, sealed, and sanctified with the Holy Ghost. He said, that old priest jumped back and said, he jumped there at the end of the door, said, looked in, is there anything else I can do? Oh, the world don't understand us. We got a good shepherd. Well, listen, hey, Jesus told him, his disciple, that, you know, they told him, said the baby started crying out in the temple, Hosanna in the highest. They started, and they said, Lord, can you make them make your disciples be quiet? He said, hey, he said, I'll tell you what, he said, if these be quiet, he said, the rock's going to cry out. I don't want, you know, there's a big old rock up there at Stone Mountain, North Carolina, up in Stone Mountain, Trap Hill, North Carolina. We have the largest granite rock in the state of North Carolina. I don't want that rock crying out and praising God in my place. I'm going to praise the Lord. Woo, David, he goes out there. And boy, he brings that Ark of the Covenant. You know, David's the one wrote about the Lord as my shepherd. I believe David saw him as the good shepherd. And boy, that day he brought that Ark home, he's a-dancing before the Lord. I ain't talking about some rock dance or some contemporary, some kind of garbage. I ain't talking about that. David wasn't dancing to show his body. And his little liberal wife, Michael, she's a member of the first church uptown. She had enough religion, amen, to float a boat. But she said, how glorious was the king of Israel. She made fun of him. Boy, God struck her right on the spot. You better be careful about that. I remember there's two little boys as two little boys, we grew up in church. Mama would take us, and I remember, boy, they'd get to shouting. I mean, listen, man, you don't hear much of that anymore, but I like it, don't you? Hey, he's a good shepherd. We ought to shout and praise God. Whoa, you say, preacher, we just don't do that. Well, you ought to. Amen. He's a good shepherd. I ain't talking about something worked up. And then the Bible said he's the great shepherd. Hebrews 13:20 said he's the great shepherd. How about that? I don't just have a good shepherd. I got the great shepherd. Hallelujah. My God is great. That means he's powerful. That means he's bigger than any other God. You know, little boys might sit around and say, my daddy can whoop your daddy. I remember I went to school with this little boy. And he had a wild imagination. And he's a good boy. I always liked him, but he had a wild imagination. And he'd sit there at lunch and he'd tell us about going to the wrestling matches. And him and his daddy go to the wrestling matches. And I mean, before that little boy got through with the story, his daddy had climbed out of the bleachers and jumped in that ring and whooped them wrestlers. I mean, boy, he could tell it now. I mean, you better go messing with me. I got a great shepherd. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, I don't like you, but I got a great shepherd. Boy, ain't he good? Amen. He's great, thank God. He's more powerful than God. And then I read in my Bible, amen, that Jesus is the chief shepherd. 1 Peter 5:4, now you pastors are good men. Boy, we got some good men pastoring church, young men, older men, got some good ones pastoring churches. Thank God for you good men that pastor. Amen. I pray for several of you men. I don't even know you. You don't know me. I pray for you. If you're a fundamental Bible believer, I love you. I want to help you. I want to pray for you. I learned to intercede from, I learned to be an intercessor for preachers from my friend Dr. Sammy Allen. I don't know how many preachers that man prayed for. How many men he prayed for them, prayed for them, prayed for them. I try to pray for God's name. I'm not Sammy Allen. Don't go around saying I said that. I wouldn't be worthy to loose down and tie Sammy Allen's shoes. I'm not worthy of that. But I'm going to say this to you. I try to pray for some of these men. As a matter of fact, I texted a preacher yesterday. I was praying. And God put this man on my heart. God said, strong on my heart. Put this man on my heart. And I texted, boy, that man needed my text. Oh, he's going through a battle. He's going through a battle. He needed it. Let me tell you something. But we got the chief shepherd. Let me tell you, pastors are good shepherds. But we've got the chief shepherd. Amen. He's the one ought to be in control of the church. I know we sometimes pastors say my church and my ministry. Hey, but pastor, don't never leave him out. Don't never leave him out of a decision. Don't never leave him out of a sermon. Don't never leave him out. Let him decide what you preach. I know you may have your series all alliterated and all that, but if God wants you to preach it, fine. If you don't never leave him out of a deacon's meeting. Don't never leave Jesus out of anything you do. Don't leave him out of a youth meeting. Don't leave him out of a revival meeting. Y'all get what I'm saying. Don't get who you want. Get what Jesus wants. Amen. You know why? Because he's the chief shepherd. See, he knows how to guide that church when you don't know. I tried when I pastored, especially the last church I pastored, I tried to get who God wanted me to get. And I got one man one time God didn't tell me to get. Amen. I thought it's going to tire my church up. Let me tell you something. You better be careful. Amen. Let me say this to you. It ain't really my church. It's God's church. Amen. But I want to say this to you. Let God. He's the chief shepherd. Boy, I'm glad he's the shepherd. Amen, ain't you? And then I want to say this about Jesus. Boy, ain't he wonderful. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. You know what? He's the door in John 10, verse number 7. You see, you got to go through him if you're going to go to heaven. Amen? Why, there's people trying to climb up other ways. There's people on the radio. They're false prophets. They'll tell you you can get to heaven. I heard about a fellow one night in Atlanta, Georgia. And he is a preaching. He said, all you got to do is write me. And he said, I'll put your name in my gold Bible. Brother, that's hogwash and pickle juice. I want you to know that. Amen. Let me tell you something, brother. You must be born again if you're going to heaven. And Jesus is the door. I was thinking about that the other day. Somebody said, Judas Iscariot kissed the door to heaven. Well, he really did. Jesus is the door. Amen. And you know, you enter in by a door. I came into this room by a door right behind me. Right here's a door. I came in this room. Jesus is the door. How about that? Then I want to say this. Jesus in Matthew 16:18, he's the rock. Amen. Upon this rock, I build my church. He asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? Boy, some of them said you're Elias, and some of them said you're, I believe, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Oh, but let me tell you who he is. He's the rock. Boy, you think about the rock. I was talking about that big rock up at Stone Mountain. You ever seen that big rock up there? Some of you have. Stone Mountain up in Trap Hill, North Carolina. Great old big rock. I mean, you can climb. When I was a little boy and didn't have no sense, I climbed the top of that thing. I wouldn't do that now for none. Money couldn't pay me to do that now. But you know what? That big old rock's been sitting there for years. That rock is a shelter. That rock, no doubt, animals build their nest in that rock. You know what? Jesus is my rock. Boy, I go to the rock that is higher than I. Boy, sometimes I don't understand things. Sometimes I get low. Sometimes the devil gets on my trail. And I got news for you. Sometimes I even get depressed. How about that one? That'll fry you apple pie. Amen. Sometimes I get depressed. Sometimes you preachers get depressed. You won't admit it, but you do. You get so discouraged, amen. If you could get out of it, you wouldn't never preach another lick. Oh, but Jesus comes by. Jesus comes by your way. You know why? Because he's the rock. Boy, he's the rock of ages. Amen. He's the clear. Now listen, by the way, you know what? Did you know this? Amen. That rock in Matthew 16 has the idea of a crag. That has the idea of a split in it. Now, did you know when Jesus died on Calvary's cross, amen, all the rocks rent. You know what that's a type of, brother? That's a type of the travail of Jesus Christ. He's the renting rock. He's the split rock for your sins and for mine. And the church is built on that crag. The church is built on the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. It's built on that rock. Amen. You know, the whole, our church ain't built on some, by the way, the church is not an organization. The church I belong to is not a money-making scheme. The church I belong to, you say, well, preacher, you're a member of such and such church. No, I'm not talking about that church. I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about God's church. Upon this rock I build my church. I belong to the heavenly church. Now, I do belong to a local church. I'm a member of a local church. I tithe to a local church. I give to missions in my local church. Amen. I'm a part of my local church. But hey, I'm a part of the blood-washed church. Boy, I tell you what, I'm glad to be a part of the church that Jesus died for. And the cross is our banner. Thank God, the old rugged cross on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. How about that? Amen. Oh, my friend, when I think about that cross, don't you? Boy, I think about Jesus, keep me near the cross. You know, you've heard the song about the little boy that got lost, and a policeman found him, and he said, son, he said, do you know where you live? He said, no, sir, I'm confused. He started crying. He said, but sir, if you can get me to that cross, he said, on our street, there's a church with a great big cross. If you can get me to that cross, I can find my way home. January 22nd, 1978, I came to the cross. I came to that old craggy rock that, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God, I came to that rock. And I've been secure on that. I've not lost my salvation one day in 48 years. I've not been lost since. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hey, brother, he's the rock. Amen. Thank God. Then I want to say he's the Lord. In Matthew 12:8, the Bible said that Jesus, even Lord of the Sabbath. Oh, he's Lord. For some of you think you can just get saved and live any way you want to. Amen. You want to act like the Apostle Paul and live a Lot's life? No, let me tell you, you're not going to get away with that. Jesus is Lord. And he's the authority over the devil. He's the authority over the church. He's the authority over the Christian. He's the authority over where you go, what you say, what you wear, who you are. And brother, if you ain't, you know, some folks say, well, you know, we'll act right at church. We'll dress right at church, but we just dress any way we want to at home. Well, you're not letting him be your authority. You see, Jesus is my authority every day, everywhere, every way. Amen. Hadn't been saved too long. About 3 or 4 months. And the Lord, not some preacher, the Lord convicted me being in the river with my shorts on, my shirt off. I'm just putting out there, I'm just telling what the Lord did. I'm telling about Jesus, he's Lord. Some of y'all don't like him being Lord. Oh, you want him to be some little old flip-flop wearing, sandal wearing hippie that comes around and speaks peace to you. No, that ain't my God. No, sir, my God ain't them little pictures of Jesus. I'm sorry to tell you, that ain't my God. My God's the Lord of Lords. My God's the King of Kings. My God's the one who made the sun rise this morning. My God's the one who'll make him set this afternoon, this evening. Sun's in the male sense. My God, by the way, do you know what? He's the one who makes the moon. Amen. Rise and not rise. Amen. Hey, he's the one brings springtime and summertime. Amen. Climate change ain't in the Bible. Jesus ain't no such thing as Mother Nature, but they are such a thing as Father God. He's the Lord. You say, preach, all these storms we're having, that's climate change. No, that's the devil lying you. Amen. I really believe, you know what the Bible said, they'll believe a lie. I believe the Antichrist is going to be a big climate change. I believe that's what they're going to use to say that the people left here in the rapture, I believe they're going to use climate change. But let me tell you something, ain't a word of that true. You read Genesis 8:26, it's the climate change killer. You read that. Genesis 8, that one verse alone does away with climate change. Genesis 8:26, you go look it up. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Are you listening to me? Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King. And by the way, he's the authority. By the way, he's the authority over heaven and he's the authority over hell. And if you die, you say, well, preacher, my God's too... I had a lady tell me this years ago. She said, my God's too good to send anybody to hell. Hey, if that lady don't get saved, and bless her heart, I want her to get saved. But if she don't get saved, she'll die, and God will send her to hell. Why? Because lost people go to hell. Why? Because he is Lord. Amen. He is Lord. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Well, I thank God that he's Lord. Then I want to say this. Let's look for just a minute. Let's look at his grace. Let's look at the grace of Jesus. Oh, I think about his grace. I think about him. Amen. His grace. Boy, God gives good grace, don't you? I think about God's grace, amen, and how it can save sinners, amen. I think going back to him being Lord, I think about his authority, how he can, he has authority, but yet he has grace. I think about Mel Trotter. He experienced God's grace. I think about that woman of Samaria at the well. Boy, she came to draw, and she said, Lord, give me this water. And, you know, Jesus always wants you to confess your sins. He said, call thy husband. She said, I have no husband. He said, in this thou hast spoken truly. I'm not quoting word for word. But he said, thou hast had 5 husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. You know what? In other words, Jesus don't honor living together, not being married. But boy, I tell you what, he told that woman where she was. And brother, that woman got saved and she went in the city and she didn't know where to go because she had so many hussies. She was vile and wicked. The men were friends of women, didn't want to have nothing to do with it probably. I mean, usually they came to that well in groups, but that woman, no, she came by herself because didn't want nobody having to do it. She'd done had part of their husbands, probably done stole their husbands. But she came to those men and she said, come see a man. That's talking about Jesus Christ. Come see a man who told me all things ever I did. Hallelujah. Amen. Ain't that wonderful? Oh, glory to God. I'm glad for him. He is his grace. And then you know Revelation 22:1 or 22:21 is the last verse of the Bible, I believe. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. God closes the book with grace. You may be an old wicked sinner, but you can get saved today. God wants you to say, preacher, you don't understand what I've done, nor where I've been. You're right, I don't. Nor do I care to know. But I tell you, this same Jesus that I preached to you about today, he can save you. Then what about not only his grace, but what about his love? John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now let me tell you, Jesus loves you no matter what you've done. I think about a man who's killed 50 people, he's sitting on death row. But if that man will bow his head, Jesus Christ will save him. Oh, you say, preacher, I don't believe in deathbed repentance. I was taught that when I was a kid. I was taught that all them old deathbed repentances, and they took a verse out of context in the book of Proverbs. Oh, wait a minute, hold on a minute, listen to me. The thief on the cross, if that wasn't deathbed repentance, I don't know what was. He's on that cross, he's pushing up to get air in his lungs. He's gasping for breath. And boy, that other thief's mocking the Lord. And this one thief, he was mocking him at the first, but then he quit. And as he's pushing up on that cross, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And then Jesus is pushing up to get air in his lungs. And Jesus says, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Oh yeah, they're struggling on the cross of Calvary. Oh, he died. But you know what? That's deathbed repentance. That man got saved. Let me tell you something. I'm going to see that thief. I'm going to see that thief. He's saved by the grace of God. How about that? Amen? Oh, you're going to see that thief. What about God's love? I love that song, The Love of God. Oh, if we with ink the ocean fill, if every man on earth were scribed by trade to write the love of God above, amen, the sky couldn't hold it. Amen, the sky couldn't hold it if we could just write about God's love. You know I've been guilty. Now, I've not been preaching God's love all these years. I preach more judgment than I have love. Now, wait a minute. God's still a judging God. But, oh, God is love. John said, God is love. God is love. God loves you. I go back to James and John. You know, they're wanting to call fire down on them Samaritans. And Jesus said, you know not what manner of spirit you're of. Jesus said, I came to save men's life. It is not the will of God that anybody die. It's not the will of God that anybody die lost. Did you know that? It's not the will of God that God have to take anybody out of this world. It is not God's will. God is a God of love. If you go to hell, you'll go to hell over the love of God. You say, preacher, I don't want to hear about Jesus. I was in a church and somebody requested prayer and said they witnessed to a man. Said the man said, I don't want to hear that. And oh, that's a chilling thing. People said, I don't want to hear. Let me tell you, you may not want to hear it, but Jesus loves you. You know what he told Paul? He said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You may go to hell, but some of you will go to hell over my prayers, maybe, and some of you will go to hell over God's love. Did you know if you go to hell, you go to hell, and God loved you, you can't get around the love of God. You may cuss him, you may call his name in vain, but he loves you. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. What about his love? And then I want to say this, what about his peace? Oh, you know, in his writings, by the way, John 20:19, he came and appeared to those disciples, and the Bible said he breathed peace. Let me say something to you. You know, in the writings of Paul, grace always comes. He said grace and peace. Grace always comes first and then peace. You see, if you're not saved, you don't know anything about the peace of God. There's a man in Mark 5. He's walking around with over 2,000 devils living on the inside of him. But when Jesus saved him, he did three things for him. He was sitting clothed and in his right mind. That's his spiritual position. He's sitting. I'm sitting with God in heavenly places. He clothed him. That's his physical position. He sanctified him. He separated him. And then he's in his right mind, his mental position. Thank God Jesus put me in my right mind when I think about his grace, don't you? I think about his peace in John 20:19. Then I want to say this. Let's look at this. Let's look at his cross. The cross of Jesus. Think about that. The cross that he went to Calvary with. He bore that cross for you. There's not one man, woman, boy, or girl on earth that Jesus didn't die for. He died for you, drug dealer. He died for you, drug addict. He died for you, atheist. He died for you, rock singer. He died for you, Hollywood star. He died for you that are in pornography. He died for you that make it, sell it, and buy it. He died for you, drunkard. He died for you that make it and sell it and buy it. He died for you, immoral person. He died for you that is out of the will of God, that's perverted. He died for you, friend, his cross. And then I think about, you know, that speaks of it, of the past. Now I think about his church. That speaks of the present. He said, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The devil's never going to conquer the church. Brother, we're going home, all the way home, and I'm part of the church. I'm saved. I'm born again. That deals with the present. And then we talk about his coming. And that deals with the future. And I've already dealt with that. He's going to come in the rapture first, and then he's going to come that last time, and then the white throne judgment. I want to talk about this right quick, his pardon. In Isaiah 55:7, you'll read about the pardon of Jesus Christ. He wants to give every one of you a pardon. I think about a man on death row. He's going to die at midnight. And about 2 minutes to midnight, he hears steps walking down the hall. And he says, well, they're coming to get me. And all of a sudden, they unlock his cell, and they say, Mr. Smith. And they hand him a little envelope. And he said, what is this? They said, open it, sir. That is a pardon from the governor of this state. You are now free. And brother, when that man's supposed to die at 12 o'clock midnight, when the clock strikes 12, he's free. They told me about a woman was on death row. I heard a preacher tell this. A woman was on death row. And they started her toward the gas chamber. And she broke away and ran. They had to catch her. And she ran back into her cell and laid on her bed and said, please don't kill me. Whatever you do, please don't kill me. Don't kill me. Oh, but if that woman would have turned to Christ, she could have had a pardon, my friend. And then I think about not only his pardon, but I want to say I think about his power. Amen. In Mark 4:39, he spoke peace to the storm, didn't he? And then I think about, amen, his people. In 2 Corinthians 6, he talks about us as God's people, how separate we are to be. And then I want to say, I think about his blood. 1 Peter 1:18-19, Peter called it precious. And then I think about the bride in Ephesians 5:27. God's going to present us faultless. Amen. And then I think about his Bible. Amen. He is the Word of God. I think about in Matthew 4, he's the written Word. 4 times Jesus defeated the devil. I think about Jesus. John 21:25, the apostle said, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. He put the amen on there, which means true. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Father, thank you for sending him. Lord, I love you. In Jesus' name, save the sinner. Amen.